Sure. My name is Lisa Kraus. I'm coming here to Hawaii for the first time from Philadelphia, where I've been living for the past 17 years. Before that, I was based in Europe for 10 years in the Netherlands. So I was very well contexted in European contemporary dance. And before that, I lived in New York City primarily for quite a long time. So I come to criticism from having been a professional dancer and choreographer and teacher. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I wanted to write about the work that I was doing with Paris Opera Ballet, teaching them contemporary work, because like this festival, it had to do with crossing borders, shifting from one kind of dance approach to another, helping people understand that. So okay. I started writing in 2004, and I've been going ever since.
My name is Salmur Gianto. I was a dancer. I'm from Indonesia.
You specialize in Javanese dance.
Javanese dance, but then I also study contemporary Indonesian, which is a bit different with the contemporary Western dance. I began my career as a dancer, a little bit choreographing, but then I dedicate myself in writing about dance, because in my opinion, you know, a good development of dance needs four important pillars: the performers, dancers and choreographers in dance, then appreciative or emancipated audience who want to understand, who is to understand about what is dance and how to enjoy dance. Then the third pillar is the presenters, management, presenters or producers of dance. Because you have good piece, if there is no presenters, then it will not meet the artist, the work, and the audience. And the fourth, people not thinking about this, but I thought it's very important, that was the critics or scholar, which try to bring together between the performers, the artists, and the audience. Because if there is no critic, you know, sometimes the artists will do what they like, and sometimes the audience want to see something what they like, but the artist doesn't want to show something. Okay. And the most important for me is after that, all that, you know, I'm becoming a professor, a teacher. I'm studying cross-culturally after Hawaii in 78, so 39 years ago. I came here as a dancer. Then I come to the state in Colorado. I got my master and I got my PhD degree in performance studies at New York University. And since then, I began to write, to teach, but also to organize festival. I was involved in two important festivals in Indonesia, even three maybe. What I call the Young Choreographer Festival. The second is the Indonesian Dance Festival. The third one is the Art Summit Indonesia. Because I believe festival is a very important forum to bring people together, both the audience and also the performer. Because without bringing together this one, then festival, maybe ritual, will lose their real meaning, bringing people together and coming together to produce something valuable for the people.
Okay? Oh, I mean, you've really helped me to understand the role that critics can play mm-hmm. with dance. Mm-hmm. Lisa, in cross-cultural dance, I mean, how does... does that really work, and what's the purpose of it? How does it just keep from being this big movement pastiche after 2 weeks?
I'm very interested to see what people are doing here, because I don't really know what Korean contemporary dance looks like. I've seen work by, say, someone of Japanese origin in New York, for instance, who never studied traditional Japanese dance, who went back to study it and then integrated it into their contemporary dance practice. There are a few people who've done that kind of research and work, and it's been really fascinating because the values are quite different. in the different systems. And so to bring them together really might shift the way the performer thinks about their own role in the piece, how they present themselves.
What their role is? What do you mean? They're a dancer.
Right. Who is the dancer when they're on stage? Are they the embodiment of some kind of God figure? Are they expressing the lifestyle that they're part of? Hula is considered a lifestyle, not just a dance that people do. There's a great surround to it. There's a spirit associated with it. And I think that's much less so around contemporary Western dance.
In the kind of cross-cultural dance that you've seen, Sal, does it actually work to try?
This is a tough job, but when you can do it, you can learn a lot. A lot of scholars, especially anthropologists, for instance, they said that by contacting with other culture or another self, you will understand yourself better. You will understand your culture better. The most important requirement is that you have to have an open mind. Because sometimes you can meet people, you can meet another culture, but you shut up yourself. You don't want to communicate, to open for new possibilities. Okay. So what is important with festival is that you bring people together. Okay, from different cultural background, different self, you know. But the most important is that if you open your mind, then you interact. Because then you can only see them when you're doing it. Okay. When people from the background interact with each other, then they know who they are. Then they can also learn who their partner or the other people in the surrounding. In many of Asian countries, you know, the way they perform, the way people enjoy performance are different. In the beginning, our ancestors performing dance to communicate with four aspects. First is to God, to nature, okay, to other people, and to the inner self. Okay, so at that time, what is important for them is a dance function, like a therapy.
Yes.
So the aesthetic of Javanese dance, for instance, is the Javanese called semela. It means like that you got to be relaxed, because sometimes in their life, people got stressful. Okay. So what's a good dance is a performance that can bring you to a relaxation. Very important.
Okay. For the audience, you mean?
Yeah, and the audience and the dancers, because dancing is like a part of meditation. Okay? So when you, in your life, you have a problem and you feel distressed, when you see dancing like Bedoyo, you can feel relaxed. And relaxation, what they call semela, is very important in Japanese life. So dance is connected with more about feeling and experience. Okay? But when the culture develop, came coming, then dance becoming more a performance or theatrical performance. So in the feeling and experience, here is more important, how you feel. Okay? And in the theatrical performance, shape and forms getting more important. People then, for instance, you know, shape and form is important, but not here. Okay, and in the Western side, I think this is the other. When we do things like this one, we just running here because there is noise outside. You consider as noise, okay? But in traditional Asian, there's a part of your life in the world, so you have to accept it. Because what's important is here, and you come together and so forth. So this is the difference between the cultural festival or ethnic festival with a festival. Western oriented like this, that you bring it into a performance, theatrical performance. Not the experience, not only the performance text, but also the context is very important. Sometimes the bringing together is more important. Performance is also sometimes in ethnic context. Everybody can perform. Everybody have the right to perform. But when we have a professional performance festival like this, you selected the group, you selected this one. Then it's becoming audience. And the artists are different. If you go to the village or whatever, sometimes everybody can perform. In Bali, festivals are part of for everybody. They have the right to perform something to God, to thank God. So everybody can dance. You should dance if you want to thank God. Right? But when the culture develops, they're selected. They pick up only good dancers, trained dancers, to perform something for God. That's the difference.
How can I ever feel what you might feel from your dance? How could I ever feel it myself? I'm not from your culture. Could I ever feel it?
Of course. Okay. It is what I said before, you know, about whether you are ready to open your mind or not. Because sometimes you come to a performance and you have your own conception that you brought to the performance. Like ballet. So must be beautiful, good shape, you know, must be performing together, you know, and so forth. For instance, that performing together uniformly is very Western. Like it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In Japanese dance, the feeling together is more important rather than physical. You know? So when you do the Japanese performance, the feeling of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, the feeling of 8 is important. But some dancers can do the movement a little bit before 8, exactly at 8, or a little bit after 8. As long as your feeling is together, that's more important. Because life, you never can do something 1, 2, 3, 4, and the three of us can up like this one. It was natural. But when I came here to study the best, that you have to be one way together. Okay? When you go to school, not everybody come at the same time, 8 o'clock. But some people come late, some people come earlier, some people exactly at 8. And in Indonesia or Java, it was tolerated. It's okay.
Do you really feel that someone outside of that culture could get that communication?
I think so. Yes. Yeah, decide.
Do you think?
I can actually speak to that because I first saw a group that Sal was involved with 33 years ago at the American Dance Festival. They were coming from EKJ in Java. And it was a large group of men and women who were doing some dances from Sumatra. They involved sticks. They involved sound making. And they were very much in an ensemble. And immediately I was very excited by the performance because of how the performers melded together. They were all in service of something that had a quality of sacredness to it. And at the same time, the actions were very ordinary. They were just slapping and clapping and sound making. And it was very, very powerful and moved me a great deal. So as a New York experimental dancer, I actually went to Indonesia and later studied with Sal's wife, Endang, who taught a dance that moved extremely slowly and very gracefully. And I can just say, as someone not of that culture, the minute I began witnessing that dance, it did have that effect that he's talking about, a quality of settling, a quality of ease, a quality of being in the presence of great beauty.
Sometime in the West, you try to understand with your mind. In Java, you have to understand with your body. So when the dancers are relaxed, you feel also relaxed. Okay? So another way of, you know, try to use your body to enjoy, to appreciate what they move. So sometimes when this is boxing, for instance, if you see someone was hidden and you feel like something like this one. But when you saw ballet, the flying whatsoever, you feel also flying with your body and so forth. And that is more important rather than like, what does it mean? So sometimes you saw performance and you don't understand at all, but you can enjoy it. So enjoying a performance does not need that you have to understand rationally. Okay? When you see sunrise or sunset, sometimes, what is this? You saw it every day. But in certain moment you saw it, you see beautifully. One second, 5 seconds, whatever. You feel something that, oh, my goodness, this is the first time in my life that I saw a phenomenon like this one. And you adore God or whatever. In dancing, sometimes that kind of movement. a dancer keep dancing because the split moment when they feel that they are alive on stage, okay, the body and the mind, what they're doing is like something that represents you alive there. And if the audience have also the same sensitivity, you can catch that one. That's why you saw, for instance, a firebird many times, but you keep going because what you try to find out is that split moment that can move you like this. And it's becoming routine, then you do not enjoy this one. If there is different artists, you know, if maybe Peter Martins and Nijinsky and whatever, they're different dancers. But you enjoy it because the way they move, the split moment, you feel like, you know, oh, we went together. It would do it or whatever, with whatever.
So funny what you say. How does that happen, Lisa? Why can that happen sometimes? Dancers can take you with them.
I think what Sal said about just really tuning into your own perception and allowing the experience to unfold and move you without having to tell yourself a story about it, that you don't have to analyze it, you don't have to, quote, understand it in a conceptual way, that you can allow yourself to be touched. People like, he cited Nijinsky and Peter Martins, I could say Baryshnikov, I could say Trisha Brown, who is an extraordinary performer. Many extraordinary performers, I think their ability to capture our excitement and interest and bring us with them in every moment. It does have to do with what Sal is talking about. It has to do with their complete presence in the action that they are doing in that moment, and also their sense of its value, that they know that it has meaning for them, and so that sense of depth is transmitted in each moment. So it often, in the West, combines with a kind of technical proficiency. So we might not be so interested in Baryshnikov if his pirouettes were not so extraordinary. Or, you know, there's a quality of sparkling. There's a quality of precision and strength and physical facility that's very moving to see. And there are versions of that in all kinds of Asian forms also. We recognize that. It's like when Pak Sal was doing traditional Javanese male dance roles, it was not only his presence, it was his perfect understanding of the form that drew people as well. So it's a marriage of those things.
How can people who are not familiar with the culture, the stories, the movement language, what's our entree?
It's very possible just to go in and look in a really open way and ask, what might that feel like to do that? Or what is the feeling I am getting from watching this? Or watching different kinds of things. You can shift your attention. You can ask yourself, what are the kinds of rhythms that these people are making as opposed to these people from another country? How are the Tongan people working with their rhythms as opposed to the Korean dancers? How are these cultures thinking about rhythm? How are they thinking about shape? There was a moment in the development of American contemporary dance where it was actually influenced by Zen. And what Sal was saying about an Eastern view of accommodating everything, accommodating seeing the leaf blower as part of your overall environment. Likewise, in that moment in contemporary American dance, people said, well, what about pedestrian movement? What about just how we relate to gravity and only unpacking that? What about the way one joint can move and the way another joint can add on? So in a way, letting go of a lot of earlier convention.
Style,
and also, I want to use the word, like dictums, like you must, this, that, or the other. They said, mm-mm, sorry, no, we're not doing those things.
It was funny, though, because it wasn't, there was expressionism in dance and painting and everything else, but it wasn't like this. It was movement that had, like, an intellectual core to it. It had a reason for doing what it was doing.
Mm-hmm. And also a kind of a heroic quality on the part of the performers who, you know, the physicality was very tough and tense and strong stories of pioneer individuals in Martha Graham's work or, you know, virtue. Many different kinds of conventions of the body as almost superhuman physical expressive body.
What about today? What's contemporary dance in America saying today?
Yeah. That's a really big field. I mean, there are 50 states in the USA, and there's many, many different approaches to contemporary dance. I think, like most recently, it's very interesting how the political situation that we're in terms of inclusion of different relationships to gender, different identity groups, how that has seeped in to contemporary dance. There's an LGBTQ Swan Lake performed by non-dancers. There are a lot of works having to do with being black in America, what the nature of that experience is.
Is that actually reflected in the movement?
I think the movement can draw on sometimes something like the style of voguing that came out of Harlem dance clubs and the gay community. You know, I'm talking about one slice of what's going on. There are people who continue to work with formal aspects of space-time relationship. I just saw a work by someone named Vicky Schick, which was all about interrelationships of a group of, I believe, five women, very delicate, very finely crafted, exquisite and humorous movement, but also how is that performed? Like the convention of a more expressionless face would be part of it, of ease in the body and the physicality would be part of it. At the same time, you've got people coming out of the Cunningham tradition who are working with, you know, really stretched and extended strong limbs and very formal shaping and that kind of thing. All of these things are coexisting.
How about, like, crunking and, you know, hip-hop dance?
It's huge. And it's also been a really big influence from the States spreading all over the world. In Philadelphia, we have Rennie Harris Pure Movement, who, you know, that group was really an originator of theatrical hip-hop and continues to make really interesting, beautiful theater works out of that hip-hop form. He works a lot with house dancing, which is even less kind of gymnastic, but fabulously rhythmical, and the unisons that are possible with these groups are incredible. I've written about that group a fair amount because they are, you know, they're immediately compelling, and that's an example of a dance form where nobody needs to know a thing.
I'm going to talk about three things, okay? The most important instrument in dance is body, okay? As a human being, since childhood, we try to know the world through your body. Okay, so sometimes the kid, you know, eat something from the ground or touch something that may be dangerous. So body is very important to give you information with this one. When you grow up and you go to school, then they put this away to the side. And then when you becoming adult, you know, sometime you are following all the rule of the society, etiquette and so forth, and you forget about your body as an instrument that are able to know about the world. The dancer is the one who try to keep maintaining their body to be sensitive about that one. Okay? So I think a part of the good way of this festival is they do a kind of workshop, festival, or classes. It is not limited only just for the professional dancer, but also for the public. And they will relearn their body. Because sometimes when you once learn dance and then forget for 5 years, 10 years or whatever, you do not the rhythm of your body, you know. And it is very important to relearning your body, to know about the world, to know other people, how the body try to speak to you. That I'm going to talk about three things, okay? The most important instrument in dance is body, okay? As a human being, since childhood, we try to know the world through your body, okay? So sometimes the kid, you know, eat something from the ground or touch something that may be dangerous. So body is very important to give you information about this one. When you grow up and you go to school, then they put this away to the side. And then when you're becoming adult, you know, sometime you are following all the rule of the society, etiquette and so forth, and you forget about your body as an instrument that are able to know about the world. The dancer is the one who try to keep maintaining their body to be sensitive about that one. Okay? So I think a part of the good way of this festival is they do a kind of workshop, festival or classes. It is not limited only just for the professional dancer, but also for the public. Then they will relearn their body. Because sometimes when you once learn dance and then forget for 5 years, 10 years or whatever, you do not the rhythm of your body, you know. And it is very important to relearning your body, to know about the world, to know other people, how the body try to speak to you. That.
I know. That's what you first learn when you learn another
that's
dance
right.
form, right?
So I think you have hula, you have tongan, you have... This is the dance that technically maybe people can try. And sometimes how difficult you do the movement following the rhythm of the music sometimes. So some people have retarded, you know, in the musicality and try to do the movement with the rhythm of the music, and it's difficult. And you just... unbelievable that why can't I do this one? It's so simple and so forth.
Okay. I mean, would it be difficult for you? I mean, I know you're a professional dancer, but mm-hmm. coming from a, you know, from a Javanese tradition mm-hmm. to hula?
To relearn. Because sometimes when I studied already with my own tradition, Javanese or Balinese, your body are conditioned. So this is what I want to say next, because this is legendary choreographer Lin Huamin who told me when I brought some group to Taiwan. And I have one young choreographer from Papua New Guinea, is Indonesian Papua, and the other one is a classical dance from Kraton. And he told me that sound, this element is important. So you have to tell this young guy from the Papua whose dancing is always spontaneous, you know, dynamic, to know about classicism with detailed movement, you know, following the formal pattern, you know, life something like that one. Some people like it when everything is put neatly like this one. But when you live in a place like that one, then you don't have freedom. Okay? You always to follow all the rule in this one. You eat, you have to follow this one, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth. And sometimes young people, they got bored. Why we have to live like that? Why can't we do something what we like? This is the other part that this Papua guy, you know, doing movement spontaneously. In the modern dance, contemporary dance, they call improvisation. Life is not just, you know, in line, in following the rule like that. Many times you have to improvise to solve the problem. And the dance like that one too. So he told me that if this guy, young man, only doing spontaneous thing, maybe he can do 5 good work. After that, people got bored because it's just spontaneous. The other, so you have to teach this guy something that is formal, detailed, you know, and classicism is important, structured and so forth. The one who come from this tradition, you have to teach him about spontaneity because if not, your life is not challenging. Okay.
It would seem to be more, I mean, I just feel like I'd get a more satisfying result from a traditional person who is being spontaneous than from a spontaneous person who's trying to be traditional.
Yes. That's why, you know, in contemporary Western, maybe European, sometimes people go back again. They need technique, but not the ballet technique or metagram technique, but the Alexander technique mm-hmm. or whatever, different thing, in order to know about the movement, more about their own body. Mm-hmm. How can they do something you know, with their body, and that's very important. That's why at one time, Elizabeth Strap and whatever, and right now, physical theater or physical dance, you use your body incredibly. Literally, you hurt your own body because they want to know the limit of your body, what the body can do and whatever. So the other people, you train your body in ballet for many years in order to follow that beauty, that rule. So satisfactions depend, you know. But for us, as a critic, as a teacher, we have to expose both to your student so they know the span of life and if they have to decide it. And the combination of between the spontaneity or improvisation and fixation or classicism is dependent on each choreographer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you see the most satisfying contemporary dance mm-hmm. being formed mm-hmm. out of what you just described?
It's different from each people and each people.
How about across Southeast Asia? Where is the most interesting contemporary
I saw, Asia? For instance, you know, if you look at Western, Mid-Eastern, you know, I saw Lin Huamin choreography. It's very interesting because he knows the Western convention that you have to put it into a theatrical performance with lighting and so forth. Okay, but he did not forget the quality of the movement. So he trained his dancers, Martha Graham technique, modern dance, but also ballet technique, but also Qigong, Tai Chi, and meditation, yoga and so forth. They combine both together. So he told me that my dance is special. He can perform in the East, he can perform in the West, but Western dancers who only train in ballet and in modern dance, they cannot do like my dancers. So he told me that my dancers should be able to follow, to join any school the way it would. They have something plus because they know their own tradition. Okay? But I taught for 18 years in Taiwan, and a lot of dancers, a lot of students coming from Cloudgate who already finished their traveling, the question is, Sal, I would like to know who am I? I would like to know about my own tradition. Mm-hmm. I travel all over the world. I perform as a great dancers with Cloudgate. But when they say, show me your own dance, your Taiwanese, and they show something, this is Martha Graham. That's not your dance. That's modern dance. When they show ballet, classical ballet, that's ballet. That's Western dance. Show me your dance. When they show the Chinese dance, this is Chinese. That's not Taiwanese. Right? Then they try to understand about themselves. What is how different Taiwanese with Chinese, for instance? Because Taiwanese accept more than just Chinese then. So that's why Lin Huamin tried to express his own language, movement language, putting together. Because Taiwan is no longer like China or traditional Chinese. So bringing the modern Martha Graham technique, classical ballet technique, but also Chinese opera, also Qigong, also Tai Chi, and putting together to become a language on stage.
There's indigenous Taiwanese
as
well,
indigenous,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh, yeah.
And if you there's indigenous Taiwanese who come to the NUA, Taipei National University, and study. They also learn Martha Graham and ballet, and they choreograph something that was characteristic modern Taiwan. Mm-hmm. Not traditional Taiwanese, aboriginal, you know, but newly, contemporary, but based or inspired by tradition.
I'm so lucky to have gotten the both of you with the experience that you have. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much.
For being willing to share this in a wider world.
Oh, yes, let's.